Does that sound good? Yeah. Build one another relationships. In John chapter 17, Jesus is praying, and he says, now this is eternal life. So he said, look, this is what you can be sure is part of heaven. This is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you've sent. So Jesus is saying, look, eternal life is about relationship. It's about a relationship with God, that we know God and have a relationship with him. So if you're going to say, man, relationships aren't that important, actually they are. It's the purpose. It's the purpose of our entire earthly and eternal existence is a relationship with God. That's the center of our purpose here and for eternity is a relationship with God. So relationships are certainly important. Amen? Relationship with God first and foremost. But then Jesus goes on to say, I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. That includes us. That all of them may be one, Father. Just as you are in me and I am in you, I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. And so once we know God and have a relationship with God, Jesus is calling us as his people to have one another relationships where we're one with each other. He's calling us to have soul to soul, brother to brother, sister to sister relationships in his church that aren't just kind of close or surfacey, but that are really deep. How deep? He says, just as we are one. That we have some relationships in the church with each other that actually resemble the closeness that Jesus had in his relationship with God. Isn't that amazing? You know, we need to have those relationships, and if we're going to have them, we've got to be people that build them, because they don't just happen automatically. We've got to be one another relationship builders. Why is this a concern? I do think we would all agree that there's a growing weakness in our world and the ability to build deep relationships and to connect with people. You know, I think there's a lot working against it. There's so many things. Just to name a few, I think modern technology has a big effect on it. That people's social skills are just sinking. And that people's ability to look each other in the eye and to talk personally face to face is getting weaker and weaker. People's EQ, their emotional intelligence, is going down because of this, as well as attention span. You know, people for entertainment, for most of human history, would sit around together and talk. Now people sit around together and don't talk. Or don't sit around together, just sit alone. Right? And so social skill, EQ, attention span. The average American spends 70 hours a week in front of a screen instead of in front of a person. You know, I think there's a lot in culture aside from technology working against it. We live in a very self-focused culture where we aren't really so preoccupied with other people's lives but just our own. And I think this might have existed for a long time, but especially for men, maybe close relationships isn't something that the world says for men to have really close, vulnerable, emotional dialogue with each other, right? And so that maybe is working against it, as well as just the culture of being just so, so busy and not having time for relationships or making time. And then maybe it's culture in the church. You know, maybe for you in your own life, maybe there was a time where you had really, really close, interconnected, one another relationships, maybe even overly dependent to a fault. And then different things happen, and maybe now the pendulum has swung so far the other way that where once maybe you had people too involved in your life, now there maybe aren't enough people involved in your life at all. And then there could just be just kind of shallow, more fellowship conversations, but not real deep, day-to-day, week-to-week, one another relationships. So those might be some different things going on and why this is a concern. But I do believe in this room there are a lot of us that do have, and that some of you, and many of you, do have great, close, one another relationships. And so, you know, we've got these relationships where we're spiritually guiding each other and helping each other and being there for each other. And so I don't know where you sit with it today, but I do think that there's something here for all of us to grow in. And if you feel like you don't have these relationships, I hope today you see, A, you need them, and two, that you're going to go and start building them and investing in them. And then if you sit here saying, you know, I do have these relationships, then maybe you'll decide to add one or two new one another relationships to your life. Or if you feel like, you know, I've got 3, 4, 5 already, that you'll learn ways that you could deepen those and really embrace those in even greater ways than before. Amen? So I've got 2 points for us today on building one another relationships. And those are that we need to initiate one another relationships, and then we need to invest in those relationships. And so we're going to talk about initiating. To initiate means to take ownership, to go after it, to take initiative, to take responsibility for it. That you go, man, I need one another relationships, and so I'm not going to sit back and wait for it to come to me. I'm going to go after it because I need it. Just like when you're at home and you're really thirsty, you don't go, you know, water, come to me. You get up and you go get some water, right? So you initiate. You don't just expect your cup to fill itself and walk to you, right? And so we go, man, I need relationships, so I'm going to initiate. I'm going to go after building them. I'm not going to wait for it to come to me, right? That we're not going to fall into, well, you know, I don't need relationships and thinking that way. And we'll look at some scriptures about why that's not true. But that will initiate relationships. And I know that there are some challenges with that. I know for me, when I'm really about to invest in and initiate a new close relationship, a lot about that could be difficult on the front end. It takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of energy. It takes vulnerability. It takes effort. It's, man, I got to start all over. This person doesn't know anything of my history, and I've got to get them caught up on everything. And that could just be daunting a little bit. But I found that every time I do it, it's always worth it at the end. That you take that time, you be vulnerable, you talk, and after you initiate, you find that it was worth it. And I think that's the thing, is that we initiate when something is important to us and we recognize our need for it. You go after something if it's important to you. You know, to appreciate means to recognize the full worth of something. If you appreciate it, it means, man, I realize how valuable this is. And so initiating begins with appreciating. You'll build the one another relationships if you first appreciate how valuable they are and your need for them. And I think God has made it super clear how important and necessary relationships are for us. You know, there's a lot of different ways that God's made this clear. First of all, God is relational in nature, right? He's 3-in-1. He has a relationship with himself, right? In a multifaceted, confusing form. And so God is relational, and then it says that we're made in his likeness. So if God's relational, we're relational too. Jesus said the purpose of eternity and of life is relationship. So that should tell you it's pretty important. You know, we look at the world that God has made, and I think he's made it clear, look, relationships, community is important. You look at the animal kingdom. There's 9 million recognized species on this planet, 9 million, and only 26 of them live in what's called a solitary lifestyle. And of those 26 that live solitary, they don't when they're raising young, most of them. And a lot of those 26 are endangered. So that should tell you it's not a good idea. So you look at the animal kingdom, you look at the rest of nature, plants. It's rare that you ever see just one plant by itself. Unless you're in the city and you know that's suppression, and if you let it, it would break through, right? But you look at nature, plants are together. Even things that don't have life, like rocks. If you go out, you never see just one rock. Even rocks in nature are always together. So you look at the created world, and there's relationship. There's closeness. You look at any one thing, this clicker, whatever, on a really micro scale, it's any one thing is even made up of many things. Relationship is built into the fabric of creation. You know, relationships affect our health. Studies show that having close relationships where people know you and you know each other well has a huge effect on your health. Loneliness affects our health biologically. And studies have shown that loneliness can affect your health as much as smoking cigarettes can. Just the stress of emotional isolation, they call it, of maybe you go to work and you're around people all the time, but people not really being involved in your life and knowing you. It has a serious effect even on our biological health. And so not only will lack of relationships hurt you spiritually, but it could also literally just hurt you physically in life. Lastly, I'd say this. Consider how we feel about people who live in isolation, especially on purpose from society for any extended period of time. You know, when we hear about stuff like this, we think, I don't want to go anywhere near that. Right? Think about if you were walking through the woods and you stumbled upon this out in the middle of the woods. Do you want to interact with the person that chose to live there? You know, all right, Joshua, and that's, he needs help. So, I think that was Josh that said that. We have concern about people who choose to have nothing to do with relationships in society, right? You know, I embarrassingly, was going for a run not long ago. And so I'm running. I like to run in the woods. And so I'm running on this trail, this established trail through the woods. And then I could tell that there was this other trail that wasn't the official trail that went deeper into the woods. And so I'm like, I want to go deeper into the woods. So I take this less established trail. And so I'm running. And I don't know if this happens to you, but I start picturing stuff. And I'm starting to get creeped out. It's kind of a gray day. I have headphones in. And then I run past this fallen over tree that has spray painted on it the word pigs. And I don't know why, but that just really creeped me out. I'm like, who wrote this and why? You know, and so I get eerie, and I'm eerie now, and I keep running. And after just a few more 100 yards, I come across this makeshift hut with just one seat in the middle of it. And I'm like, oh, no, nah. So I was just so creeped out. And then I started just to imagine that people were watching me or following me or something. And so I took my headphones out and just started running as fast as I could away from the hut. I lost this makeshift path. I lost it. And now I'm just running through just woods over stuff. I'm like, if anybody could see me right now. And I'm just sprinting. Finally, I find the main trail again, get back out of there, out of the woods. And then I stop and I'm like, I start laughing at myself, and I'm like, you were just such a mess right there. And nobody was even, you didn't even see anybody. But I was so creeped out and got back on the actual paved trail and just finished my run there. But you know, we feel a certain way about isolation and people without relationships for a reason. It's not healthy. It's not healthy in life. It's not healthy as a Christian as well. You know, God doesn't want us to be creepy, isolated Christians who don't have people in our lives and aren't investing in other people's lives, right? Close relationships are integral to following Jesus. They're not optional. They're necessary for us to do well and to make it. You know, Jesus connected with the big. He had the 72, the 120, 4,000, 5,000, but he specialized in the intimate. He spent most of his time with the 12, even the three in that, Peter, James, and John, these close relationships. So coming to church is great and it's important, but outside of that, we need a handful of people regularly in our lives and in their lives if we're going to make it and if we're going to be our best for God. So we got to appreciate, we got to value one another relationships because we need them. And we need them if we're going to, honestly, if we're going to survive spiritually, we need them. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12 and 13, he says, see to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. But encourage one another daily as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We have come to share in Christ if indeed we hold our original conviction firmly to the very end. You know, this passage is saying that we need to be people and to have people in our lives who see to it, who see us, who know us, who are looking, who are helping, to make sure that we don't have sin creeping into our lives that's going to cause us to be deceived and then end up walking away from God, not even seeing it coming. You know, we can't see all of ourselves clearly. There's things we see. We go, I know this is my weakness. But there's other things we can't see. And that's where we need other people to be close to us and in our lives. You know, this passage tells us that if we don't have these relationships, that we're not going to make it. Sin is going to creep into our lives and then we're going to be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. You know, all glory to Jesus for being saved. He's the one who saves us, but God's plan is to work through people in our lives. None of us would be here, would have gotten here, and would still be here if it wasn't for people being in our lives helping us. And if you needed that to become a Christian, why would you think you don't need that to grow as a Christian, to stay a Christian? We need people close in our lives who know what's going on and who are helping us. So do you have people seeing to it in your life, and are you seeing to it in other people's lives? And if not, who can be? You know, we need one another relationships if we're going to survive, but we also need them if we're going to thrive. If we're going to do well, we need close relationships. Ephesians 4:15 says, instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. And so we need close relationships to survive, but we also need them to thrive, to grow, to do well. We've got to be joined and held together with supporting ligaments. We need people in our lives. We grow when we have strong, close spiritual relationships, where we're inspiring each other, where we're working together, we're lifting each other up, we're calling each other higher, we're helping each other see things that are off or wrong and to work on those things. One another relationships are needed to grow and to thrive in life and godliness. The way I see it is that you want to be so tied in that it would be really hard for you to ever pull away and leave if you were trying to or wanting to, and to where it's really easy for you to be growing because you've got those influences in your life. You know, this happens with plants and things like that. You know, Chelsea and I live in this house, and when we moved in, out front were these huge, old, honestly hideous bushes that were growing and getting bigger and bigger. And so we decided, let's get rid of these things and we'll do some yard work here and make this look a whole lot better. And so my family came to help me, and so we're pulling out some of these plants, and my mom's husband Dan came, and he brought his huge pickup truck and this big heavy chain. And so we're yanking out a few of these smaller bushes, and then we get to these bigger ones. And right across the street from my house is our neighbor's house, and she's got some people doing work on her house. And so they're watching us a little bit. And then they see us take the chain around these big bushes here, and they stop what they're doing. We got the chain attached to the back of the pickup truck, and they start filming this. And I'm thinking, they probably know what they're doing, what we're doing, better than we know what we're doing. And so if they're filming this, this might not be the best idea or whatever. And so we got the chain on there, and we're just like just stepping on the gas on the truck on this thing, and it will not pull it out. You know, I mean, this bush, this huge pickup truck, and so we start cutting it down with the chainsaw, trying to get down so we could see it better. And this is how intertwined the roots coming up of these bushes were. And I'm just like, no wonder we can't rip this thing out. This is all just one huge mess of intertwined roots that are making this thing so stuck in the ground here that even with this huge pickup truck and this heavy chain, we cannot yank it out. And these guys are over there filming it, kind of laughing at us a little bit. And then I'm thinking, man, isn't this how we want to be spiritually? Where we want to be so rooted and intertwined in relationships with each other that even if Satan and demons were trying to yank us out of our walk with God, the angels would just be filming, laughing at it. And we've got these relationships that are keeping us intertwined. You know, we ended up cutting it down as low as we could. I did some remodeling. I did this myself. So if you want to rent me, I could come do some yard work a little bit maybe. I was impressed, honestly. I was like, wow, I did this. You know, but what's funny is under the mulch there, the roots are still there of these bushes. There's little, if you look closely, there's little humps in a few spots where those, I couldn't get it out. You know, and that's how we want to be spiritually. You want to be, you know, so tied in. How hard would it be to uproot you right now based on your relationships? How many people would be holding to you and fighting for you? You know, do you surround yourself with people who are making you grow? You know, I can't imagine, I honestly can't imagine, and I think about this as I see other people's lives, I can't imagine going through life, being a disciple, just life in general, being as a single young man when I was dating, I can't imagine being married, I can't imagine parenting, finances, a career, any of this without the people who've helped me along the way with it all. I was like, how would I have done this? How would it be? You know, we need the relationships to help us. You know, appreciate the value and embrace the need for close relationships. God made you to need close relationships, and you need them to survive spiritually. You need them to thrive spiritually. So take ownership for them and go and build them. And once you've got them, and once you've got it established, then you start investing in those relationships. You guys with me? You invest in them. Effective one another relationships are built through investment. Giving of yourself, your time, your attention, and your heart to strengthen, deepen, and then put into practice these one another relationships. What's great is God has given us many tools and practices to use to invest in these relationships, tools to use to edify and enrich each other in these relationships. You know, the phrase one another is used over 100 times in the New Testament and elsewhere in the Bible. A lot of these deal with disciples' unity, loving one another, humility, attitudes with one another. But a lot of them are just practical commands that are meant to be practiced based off the Greek word used for one another, that are meant to be practiced in close relationship. And so these are a lot of practicals, just to name a few. You know, we're called to sharpen one another, to share. So this is, think about your 2, 3, 4 close relationships that you would say are, these are my one another relationships. Or if you don't have them, think about who you're going to have them with. And think, this is what we need to be doing in this relationship. How are we doing with these? How could we start doing it? How could we start doing these even more? This is what God is calling you to do in those relationships. Sharpen one another. Share scriptures with each other. Encourage one another. Build each other up. Serve one another. Love one another. Be devoted to one another. Live in harmony with one another. Instruct one another. Be perfectly united with one another. Serve one another humbly in love. Confess your sins to one another. Bear with one another. Forgive one another. Be kind and compassionate with one another. Teach and admonish one another, just to name a handful right here. Sometimes the word each other is used, sometimes one another. The Greek word is often the same right there. We got to be practicing these in our relationships. And when I read this list, I think you could see why living this out would help you grow, can't you? You could see why if you were practicing these in a close relationship, it would help you to make it. These are some powerful things right here. You know, I think sometimes disciples, maybe you get together to spend time together often, but maybe there's not a real spiritual component where these scriptures are being practiced there. And so it's good you're getting together, but it's not good to not be practicing these. And there's certainly a time to just hang out and to not get super deep and to have fun together. But that's got to be balanced to time where we are confessing, we are sharing scriptures, we are encouraging, we are talking about stuff and helping each other to be our best for God. That's what God intends in these relationships. So who are your one another relationships? Who are they going to be and how are they going? You could use these scriptures to help you to grow in them and to invest in them. And I'd encourage you today or this week to have conversations, to make decisions, to start initiating and investing in those relationships. And I know from experience that as life gets busier and busier, and one of the things that could get choked out is our investment in these relationships. And I think that's because Satan doesn't want us to have them. And that's why we got to be extra intentional about making time for them and building them. I know for Chelsea and I, as we've had kids, and then as we've had our second kid, life gets busier and busier, but we've got to be more and more intentional about making time for this because it's important. And so with your one another relationships, I just want to give you some practicals as we close out here. I would encourage you to have a plan. Not just this ambiguous, yeah, we're in a one another relationship, but what's your plan? You know, who are your one another relationships? I would encourage, an advice would be, you don't have to do this, but for it to be somebody in your small group or something like that, who you're around more often, to know who it's going to be, and then to talk about, well, how often are we going to spend time together? I personally think, and this is just my opinion again, but at least twice a month for me seems to be needed. You know, I'm like, if you're not talking more than twice a month, how much do you really know each other? Right? I mean, Jesus says each day has enough trouble of its own. Talk about a fortnight, 2 weeks or whatever, right? Each day has enough trouble of its own. We got to have close relationships where we're talking regularly. And I think, man, if I can make time to schedule weekly recordings of a couple TV shows, I should be able to make bi-weekly, or, you know, twice a month time to schedule in some relationship to help each other grow spiritually. You know, we got to prioritize it, commit to it, make it a priority. Talk and have a plan. Get together pretty often, talk even more often. What a blessing to have smartphones and be able to call and text and communicate regularly, right? Talk often. If we only talk monthly or only when we're in crisis or only in the fellowship, let's be real, how much are we really getting help or helping each other? You've got to have more interpersonal time together, one-on-one or couple-on-couple together, right? To be able to really talk. Talk often, talk open, talk personally. Pray for them. Pray for each other, right? Pray regularly for each other. Practice these one another passages with each other. I would highly encourage you to be outward focused together. You know, to be out saving and serving people together. It helps so much in these relationships to be studying the Bible with people together, maybe to go sharing your faith together, to be reaching out to other people together. It helps you to grow so much together. You know, to be there for each other during the hard times, when somebody's going through something tough, when there's a funeral in their family, when they're in the hospital, when they're sick, that you're there for them, your first responder. To be there for the hard times, but also be there for the good times. Making the time to celebrate each other's birthdays, graduations, life celebrations, milestones, and victories that are going on in each other's lives. And I think it's important to have each other into one another's homes, to spend that personal time in our homes with each other. You know, another practical I'd say is just to make memories. And you make memories, that's how you build friendship. You think memories are really the lifeblood of friendship, is building them and then reflecting on them and really having memories. You know, I think what helped people in the Bible to have such amazing relationships is they spent a lot of time together and they didn't have smartphones. They didn't have TV, they didn't have social media or Netflix. You know, and so we got to be intentional about setting that stuff aside and connecting with people, spending time with people, and then when we're actually together, paying attention to each other. You know, that when you go into somebody's house, I would encourage you, be more focused on how can I connect with you than how do I connect with your Wi-Fi, right? And really be focused on how can I build people connection more than how do I build Wi-Fi connection. You know, I'm trying to work on this. Have boundaries with our phones. You know, I'm trying to turn it upside down or leave it in my pocket when I'm spending time with somebody. You know, I'm trying to do this. I need to grow in this. It's just to focus, to pay attention, to be giving to the person with me in person right there and to really connect in a special way. Imagine how much weaker so many of Jesus' interactions would be if people that had smartphones. Do you really love me? Wait, what was that, Jesus? You know, maybe that's why Jesus had to ask him three times. No. We need to pay attention to each other and not to these other things. I need to work on this. You know, to have boundaries with the phone and with media and things like that. You know, lastly, I just want to say, when you are getting together, to make it count. That it's going to be friendship time. We're going to be personal. We're going to be friends. We're going to laugh. We're going to talk. But we're also going to be spiritual. We're going to come into this to be spiritual. You know, I think we've got to be intentional when we invest in these times that we get together. And I think about it in like a before, during, and after phase, right? So we're going to get together every other week with this couple or with this person or with this group or whatever. It's going to be for these one another relationships. Maybe it's weekly. Maybe it's every other week. But that you're not just showing up and it's not just a casual time, but it's intentional and it's purposeful. And that to make it that, you spend maybe just 10 minutes before that time together, thinking to yourself or talking with your spouse, hey, what are things we want to talk about, get help with, or ask them about, get advice about? And Chelsea and I always do this before our times with whoever we're getting with, is what are things we want to ask about? What are things we want to get open about or get help with or ask for, or things we're trying to accomplish that we want to get input on or different things like that? Just to spend 10 minutes ahead of time to prepare, to walk into that ready to learn, ready to grow. And so that's the before, and then during it, to really make the most of it, to talk, to listen, to be vulnerable, to be personal, to look at scriptures, to be pointed back to Jesus. You know, I'm kind of rushing through some of this, but I just want to say that our times together shouldn't be unspiritual, but they also shouldn't be just venting times where we come just to dump our problems, right? We got to come into it ready to take ownership. We're asking them to help us, not to fix us. So we're getting together to say, I'm trying to work on this. How do you think I could grow in this? Or what do you think I should do? And then we're taking ownership in our own walk with God and responsibility for it, not just venting and making somebody else take responsibility for our walk with God. And lastly, I'll say on this before moving on, is that when things are brought up to us, or maybe when we're challenged a little bit, that our first response is humility and openness, and maybe I'm wrong. Now, multiple times the Bible says God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. You know, I remember having a phone call with Paris Cunningham, who used to lead the Bronx Campus Ministry and leads a church in Central Jersey now. And I remember talking with him, and this was now maybe the third or fourth time that he was calling me to say, to point out something to me about the way I had, you know, maybe talked or done or something I said in a conversation or a meeting we had. And I immediately was just kind of excusing what I did and defending myself. He said, you know, Rod, to be honest with you, I feel like every time I've brought stuff up with you, you've had an excuse and a defense for it. And I was like, wow, you know, you're right. And I kind of have this built-in defense mechanism to explain away what I did instead of owning it. And really thinking, you know, maybe he's right about this here. And that helped me a lot, that conversation a few years ago. And that's how we need to be, is just respond humbly. You know, this person isn't bringing this up because they're opposing you. They're trying to help you. And see that. And I think we want to be people. I want to be somebody who's easy to help, not hard to help. You want to be someone who's easy to help, where you're not defensive, and then where it's like people's like, well, there's no point even trying to bring something up with them. They don't listen. They don't see it. And then now it's not this person opposing you. The Bible says God is opposing you. And so we want to respond humbly, right? And make it easy for people to help us, not hard for people to help us. You know, when we're together, Chelsea and I are learning to ask for help in the moment with things with our kids there. You know, we've had the shofts over, and I'll have an interaction with Bradley, and then I'll ask Steve or Sue. I'm like, hey, did I handle that right? What would you have done with him acting like that? And we're just right there in the moment like, hey, how can I learn from this situation? And that's what's so great about spending time together, is things like that can come up where you can learn from each other as well. So I just want to say, during your times together, to make it purposeful, to make it spiritual, to make it intentional. And then after those times, to reflect on it, pray about what you talked about, take ownership for it, follow up, have good conversation, and not just you had a time, now you just move on with life, but to bring whatever you talked about or learned into the rest of your life. You know, these are just some different thoughts, ideas. I hope this gives you some ideas of things you can leave here and go and put into practice. But I think at the heart of it all, it's being like Jesus. Jesus set an example for us, and in that example, he connected with the big, but he also really majored in the close, the intimate, the small. He had a group of 12 people, and then within that, two or three people that he was really daily in life with, that they talked regularly. They were really involved with each other's lives on a deep level, a spiritual level, and they were friends with each other. And so this is what we need to follow, his example, and we're investing ourselves in the close relationships with a handful of people who are going to, on a regular basis, with a plan and some real commitment there in that relationship, going to help one another to survive and thrive spiritually. You know, as I look at my life, and I hope you look at yours, I hope we can really embrace what a privilege, what a joy, what a blessing it is that God has made it part of his plan, part of being a disciple, to have close relationships with each other. That we need one another relationships, and that we're going to be a group of people who don't just meet here in this big group, but go back during the week and have daily, weekly, regular, close relationships with each other, where we're helping each other grow. We're helping each other hold firmly to the convictions we had at first. We're helping each other to be our best for God. And in doing that, I think we'll do what the Bible says, we'll grow. And we're going to be a light to the world, and we're going to see incredible things happen. So let's go on from here today. Let's have these conversations, and let's be a group of people that we're unified together, but then beyond this, we have deep, close, one another relationships that we're building. Amen? Amen. Thank you.